This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Pete Buttigieg has suspended his campaign for the Democratic presidential nomination just one day after a disappointing finish in the South Carolina primary. Buttigieg saying dropping out now is the best way to unify Americans and get Donald Trump out of the White House in November.
I will no longer seek to be the 2020 Democratic nominee for president, but I will do everything in my power to ensure that we have a new Democratic president come January.
Voters in 14 states will be casting their votes tomorrow, which is Super Tuesday. Health officials in the Seattle, Washington area confirming the nation's second death from coronavirus. They say a man in his 70s who was hospitalized for it has died. A Seattle area man died of the coronavirus on Saturday as well. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root. The healthcare open enrollment period has ended. Did you miss it? Don't go a whole year without having a healthcare program. Sign up now with Liberty HealthShare. As a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, they're not insurance. That means you can sign up at any time of the year. Liberty HealthShare is no network. You're free to pick your own doctors, hospitals, providers, and there are no contracts. Starting as low as $199 per month, Liberty HealthShare has memberships for singles, couples, and families of any size. I joined. I'm a member. My four children are members. Liberty HealthShare saves me $18,000 each year compared to what I was paying for health insurance. Liberty HealthShare is a nonprofit ministry. Your money goes towards helping other members with their eligible medical expenses. And in your time of need, other members are there for you. You can feel good knowing you're part of the community of like-minded individuals who understand the importance of people coming together to bear one another's burdens. For more information, call 855-58-LIBERTY, 855-58-LIBERTY, or go to libertyhealthshare.org/WayneRoot. That's libertyhealthshare.org/WayneRoot.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo touting a new deal with the Taliban that could finally bring peace to Afghanistan and end America's longest war.
American blood and treasure have been expended in this place for an awfully long time. We went there after 9/11. No one still feels the anger of that day any more than I do. But it was time, and the Taliban knew it was time.
Pompeo speaking on CBS's Face the Nation, stressing that it's about accountability, not just trust, adding that nobody's under any illusion that the path forward will be easy in Afghanistan. South Korea's reporting North Korea fired two what it calls unidentified projectiles into the Sea of Japan earlier today. They traveled about 150 miles out and 22 miles high. South Korea's military saying the launch is likely part of a combined military drill. If it was a missile test, it would be North Korea's first of the year 2020. And this is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root, the conservative warrior. My show War Now airs every day right here on USA Radio from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern. I'm also the star of the Wayne Allyn Root Show on Newsmax TV, reaching over 50 million homes. But my favorite role is speaker extraordinaire. I was opening speaker at many Donald Trump for President events. I speak at Republican, conservative, and college GOP events, and I'm available to be the star at your next event. Contact me to arrange for a Wayne Root keynote speech. Call toll-free 888-444-ROOT. That's 888-444-ROOT. Or email wayneroot@gmail.com.
An incident involving one of the Democratic candidates over the weekend draws a tweet from President Trump. Here's the story from USA Radio's Robin Walensky.
President Trump on Twitter going after former New York City Mayor Mike Bloomberg. He tweets, "The black community brilliantly turned their backs on Mini Mike because they know he is a pandering phony who never did right by them." This tweet in reference to an incident in Selma, Alabama, where a group of black men and women face the back of the room as candidate Bloomberg speaks at Brown Chapel during this Selma to Montgomery March event on Sunday.
Something that's been part of Tulane University's campus for decades has been put in storage. They took away the Tulane University Victory Bell after the New Orleans University learned of its connection to slavery. The bell has been used for years to celebrate the school's basketball victories, but now the school has learned that it was used on a slave plantation to direct the movements of enslaved Africans. So again, it's been picked up off the campus and put away. Long-running daytime TV show Judge Judy will be adjourning court for good after 25 seasons. In an interview that will air today on Ellen, Judy Shilin says the 2020-2021 season will be her last. She's moving on to a new show titled Judy Justice. No details on that released just yet. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Recover Now is a national campaign aimed at the education and awareness of the devastating effects of opioid and heroin abuse and curbing drug and alcohol addiction in the United States. Recover Now is sponsored by treatment facilities nationwide. Many of them have been where you are, and they want to help by spreading a message of hope and recovery. They're working hand in hand with major insurance companies nationwide that can help you or a loved one get clean in 7 to 30 days. Recover Now is embarking on a national outreach campaign on TV and radio to promote anti-addiction messages. So if you, a loved one, or someone you know has a problem with drugs or alcohol, do not wait. A new life for you could be 30 days away. Call us right now. I promise this call can change your life. Sponsored by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
800-493-4620. 800-493-4620. That's 800-493-4620.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, it's what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Monday to you as we're off and rolling just about 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Lots to catch up on, and we thought we'd throw Mo Vella into the deep end of the pool right away here. Mo, of course, it's always an honor to have you with us, Mo. Mo is the first Hispanic to serve in two senior executive roles in the White House, first during the Clinton administration as chief financial officer and senior advisor on Latino affairs in the office of Vice President Al Gore, and later during the Obama administration. And he's a lawyer, a government advisor, and Hispanic leader, as you can tell. Mo, good to have you with us. How you doing?
Hey, Bill, it's good to be back. And after hearing that, I'm glad I know how to swim.
Exactly. Well, we're counting on you to make sense out of this stuff. Well, it's plain simple. I got to tell you, I was caught a little bit by surprise that Buttigieg would be out. Probably a smart move after all is said and done. South Carolina was kind of the telling story. He came out of the gate flying in the first two between the caucuses and number two primary. But South Carolina, not all that bueno, so he decides, okay, we're going to wrap this tent. And then Steyer said, look, I've put in enough money already, so time to get out of the way. And I guess that's what's happening, is that, you know, which we knew, things were going to start to thin out and see what happens here, because it seems like we're talking Bernie Biden, right?
Well, I think that's exactly right. And before we even get to Bernie Biden, I think it's important to recognize how honorable and patriotic it is of Tom Steyer and Pete Buttigieg to step out of the race when they saw that they had no clear path to victory. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot after you've invested all that time and energy. And and so, you know what, I commend them both for the race they both ran.
Yeah.
They made a big difference. Pete in particular, I think, advanced equality in a way that nobody dreamed we could in 2020, frankly. Mm-hmm. So good for them. But yeah, I think, look, Bill, like,
Mo, and I want to say this too. On the heels of what you just said in terms of them getting out of the way, coming in. Look at this. This is what America's all about, is people getting into, you know, getting into the race to say, look, I've got a constituency. I've got people here to represent. This is what a free America is all about. God bless them. I think the more the merrier. I mean, just like the Republicans last cycle had 18 people on stage started out. And, you know, Democrats now, here we got. And it's like, look, we're getting a good idea. You know, the voter politics getting a great idea of what's available.
Yeah, I love your attitude, by the way. I think that's something you and I have in common, which is I see the beauty of a democracy in this process. And you know, there are people that are hurt today and sad because their candidate is no longer in the race, but they should hold their heads up high, as you just pointed out when the Republicans had so many last cycle. Same thing when your candidate has to get out. You know what? Keep your head up and keep your eye on the prize, which is this incredible democracy that everyone around the world still envies.
Well, go ahead. I cut you off on that deal just to say I want people to understand, first of all, you know, I think it's awesome when we have people involved and that we're well represented. This is what a free America and a freer America is all about when, you know, we've got more people in the pool here, whether it's the deep end or the shallow end, right?
that's exactly right. I think this, you know, I had been saying for, you know, at least 60, 75 days now in the media, this would eventually winnow down, right, to two or three viable candidates. It has.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the path toward nomination has narrowed dramatically for most everybody except Bernie and Biden. And frankly, Bill, I don't think it's never been a secret. I think I said it on your show before.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a very stark choice for Democrats. One of these two guys is a Democrat and the other one's not.
Right, exactly. Well, and like you said,
way out in left field.
Right. Well, as you say, but this is what Bernie brings to the conversation. He's bringing, you know, socialism, and even though surveys say about, you know, 3 out of 10 Americans, you know, can say socialism and feel okay about it, but most of America is very uncomfortable about it. So you got somebody who is, you know, you could say in a sense calm, you know, in Joe Biden, calm, and some of the, you know, the gaffes in that, Mo, and I'm sure you cringe at those too. It's like chalk hitting the chalkboard in the wrong direction. You hear that screeching, and you go, "Oh gosh, he didn't say that, did he?" And then you got Bernie, who's got a lot of energy and has got the young people behind him, and here he now he's not even picking any bones about it anymore. He's just saying, "Look, I'm a Democratic Socialist."
Yeah, and you know what, Bill? Here's what's interesting. I like to try to stick to some facts, right? And because they're hard to argue with, right? And here are the facts. The majority of Democrats, so far in every caucus or primary, the majority of Democrats clearly do not support Bernie.
Mm-hmm.
He's never gotten over 50% in any state or caucus
right.
or primary, I should say. Number one, the majority of Democrats do not support socialism. Number two, he keeps saying the young people are with him. He is not increasing turnout.
Mm-hmm.
That is a fallacy. And frankly, I don't think people are looking for a revolution. His followers are,
mm-hmm.
but it's a limited base.
Right.
It's not growing, Bill. Let's be factual, right?
It
is not growing. His base is not growing. He's not broadening his coalition. And so to me, the voters are speaking very loudly and clearly. I thought South Carolina said it all from the African American community. No way, no way, Bernie.
Right.
Take your revolution somewhere else, right?
Well, yeah. Well, Super Tuesday should be quite revealing just around the corner, Mo, right?
It should.
Even more so.
It should. I think he's going to come out with a delegate lead. There's no doubt about it because he's doing well in California.
Mm-hmm.
And the key is going to be how well can Biden and we can't rule out a Bloomberg. He's still in the race.
Mm-hmm.
He's got unlimited resources. I think he's going to play a role on Tuesday. And he will accumulate some delegates mm-hmm. as well. So I think we're headed to a brokered convention. But I don't think that the majority of Democrats are socialists. They had never have been. They never will be. And Bernie's revolution, I think, is going to fall flat. That's my prediction.
Okay. We got about a minute and a half left. Coronavirus. Let's talk about that, how that's going to impact the election cycle or could.
Yeah. You know, I think, first of all, I don't like to politicize a pandemic.
Yes, I'm with you.
Because it is such a serious thing. And we've started seeing deaths now here in the United States and obviously over 3,000 or whatever around the world. This is a serious issue. I don't want to get into bashing the administration too much, but let's just put it this way. Our preparation for this is a dismal at best. I happen to have been, very close friends with Ron Klain, who was our Ebola czar
mm-hmm.
under President Obama. So I've up front and personal seeing how you handle a pandemic. You get a person like Ron Klain to spearhead the effort, and we were able to quash the pandemic. So I am concerned. The good news is I sit on the board of a company, as an example, called Transparent Business. We have solutions that will help with remote workforces. We have a transparency software that allows workers to work remotely and still be monitored without invading their privacy and respecting their privacy. Mm-hmm. So, you know what? I feel good that we've got the tools. I happen to be involved with a company that has a tool. And So, Bill, you know what? We just need to do what we've got to do, you know?
You got it. We'll continue the conversation.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@gcnlive.com.
I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-377-1456. 800-377-1456. That's 800-377-1456. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
As a business owner, when was the last time you asked yourself if you have the right commercial insurance coverage? You need business insurance to protect everything you're building. One disaster without the right insurance could hurt your business, and larger deals you're trying to close may require that you have it. We recommend CoverWallet for all your business insurance needs. In just 2 minutes with their award-winning technology, they can offer you free competitive quotes from top insurance carriers nationwide. CoverWallet has helped tens of thousands of businesses, startups, restaurants, truckers, construction companies, landscaping companies, beauty salons, consultants, and they can help you. No business is too big or too small, and it's a free call to find out. Protect your business. Get the right insurance for your business. Call CoverWallet right now.
800-559-5523. 800-559-5523. That's 800-559-5523.
Packages start at $39.99 a month with signed agreement. Restrictions apply. Speak to a representative for complete offer details. See Vivint.com for license details.
Homeowners, if you're looking for the best in home security and smart home technology at a price you can actually afford, we have great news. You can now get Vivint's award-winning smart home security systems starting at about a dollar a day. U.S. News and World Report has recognized Vivint as the top home security system of 2019, calling the Vivint system the best for a complete package of home security and automation, the best pro-installed home security system, and the best home security system with cameras. And right now, you can get Vivint's best home security and smart technology for about a dollar a day. Plus, get free professional installation. Protect your home and loved ones for as little as a dollar a day. Call right now for your home security consultation.
800-962-6082. 800-962-6082. That's 800-962-6082.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
There is polling. The
that shows that socialism is not the buzzword that it has traditionally been for some voters, especially younger voters. Do you think it's possible, first in the Democratic primary, then in a general election, for Bernie Sanders to make socialism mainstream?
I think he already has. I mean, if you look at the way that young people view the word socialism, even though they can't always define exactly what that means, you look at the number of people in these Fox News voter analysis polls that we've been doing and what they actually believe in, they line up with a lot of what Bernie Sanders is pushing with his platform, which is socialism. And I would add that Bernie Sanders and his record, especially over the past week, defending the Castro regime, his record personally of honeymooning the USSR, that was communism, not just democratic socialism, as he likes to say. So that is something certainly that he's been able to take mainstream in the Democratic Party. Whether he can do that nationally, I'm not sure. But what he is good at doing is building coalitions. And the question for Joe Biden now going forward is he going to be able to find a James Clyburn in every single Super Tuesday state to get him over the edge? I know we're all celebrating that Joe Biden finally won a primary after three times running for president. But if he had not won, his campaign would be over. And the question now is he going to be able to make enough money over the next 48 hours to have some momentum going into these states?
So if you raise the money, you can't spend it.
Right. The airwaves are already taken up by other candidates. And also, if you look at Nevada and the way that Bernie Sanders came out of that with a coalition, a diverse coalition, and the fact that people are already voting for him in places like California and Colorado, and how he's at right behind Joe Biden in Texas, this is still something that Joe Biden has to worry about, and whether he can expand the coalition at this point is a real big question.
Katie Pavlich on Sunday News, Fox News Sunday with Chris Wallace, you know, commenting on Bernie Sanders making socialism mainstream. I think that's it's out here. I mean, let's talk about it. I mean, even Bernie Sanders himself is describing himself. I'm not social. I'm a democratic socialist. Whatever that means, he's a socialist. I mean, I mean, I'm just a little bit pregnant. I'm just a little bit of a communist here, you know. Whatever. Come on, let's. You are what you are, and it's okay. But don't you love this country? That you know, as we were talking with Mo, the idea that we have freedom of speech. This is why freedom of speech is so vital, so that we can have this discussion. We can have this debate to say, okay, is this really something that we want? I mean, for a long time, this has been kind of hibernating in schools across the country. And don't think for a moment it's just been in colleges, as we were talking with, I think, were we talking with Michael Busler last week, and or another professor that was saying, look, it's not just in colleges. This is, you know, the Princeton professor said, it's not just in colleges, because he says when they come to college, they're already well indoctrinated. So this is actually happening in high schools, where the kids are being indoctrinated about socialism, because, hey, look, at civics is not the requirement that it used to be. Things have been dumbed down to such a degree, and in the interest of political correctness and this globalistic mindset and all these geniuses with their theories that are out there. And again, that's what I like about Mo. Yes, he's a Democrat, but like he says, hey, let's hold on to the facts. And I think at the end of the day, if not even the beginning of the day, that's what you want to, you want to make sure that you have facts involved in the conversation. Because without facts, then we're just opinionating and going back and forth and all around. But look, I believe that our liberty can well withstand any kind of threat of socialism, because it is so well entrenched. And as we were talking with Marsha Blackburn last week, I'm so grateful that she stopped by at NRB and we had a time to visit. And if you missed that interview, then go to our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Download the podcast. It is the third hour. And what you do sometimes with the hours, if you don't have a schedule in front, but I will tell you, if you want to hear her specifically, go to about the 46th mark of that third hour, and then you will hear the interview with Marsha Blackburn. And that's what we're talking about, that what we're voting on is freedom versus socialism. That's what it all comes down to. And, you know, and I appreciate, I'm grateful that we have a country that can make a space for, you know, for Joe Biden and for, I know you, some of you may be shocked, but, hey, it's okay. I mean, you need to have these antithetical conversations, because if everybody is in agreement, then one of us is, or many of us are unnecessary in the conversation. We need to have the conversation to see, okay, how is this going to work? And for people to understand that Medicare for All is not going to work, knocking off 150 million people, you know, off of their healthcare systems. I mean, we went through already that experience with Obamacare, where people were knocked off of their healthcare and they're still recovering from it. But again, you know, people don't really want to address the damage that was done by Obamacare. And some say, oh, okay, we need to double down. We just didn't go far enough. If we did, actually went all the way and did single payer, and you knew that was going to be the argument coming up. It just doesn't work. Because again, this is part and parcel of what, you know, this opens the door, you know, to government control. And this is what our founding fathers warned us about and what we've been challenged with all along. Do you want a bigger government, or do you want a government that is smaller in size and more accountable? I mean, the bigger it gets, the less accountable it becomes. And here we are, $23 trillion in debt. You've got Bernie Sanders, like the, most of the politicians, offering all kinds of free stuff, but particularly Bernie Sanders. And here we're on the heels of quid pro quo. I mean, and I looked at that $23 trillion, and I said that $23 trillion is a monument to quid pro quo. I mean, the only way you can get Democrats and Republicans to agree on something, I mean, the bailout is like, okay, we'll just go to the Treasury, and we'll give you money for your pet project, and then we'll get our project. I mean, how does that work? I mean, either it's a good idea, and it can stand on its own merit, and we have enough people that can support it without being bribed. I mean, this clearly is bribery. I mean, either we see that the military is blighted and we need to do something about the military. And I believe that what we have to do beyond just giving the military money is we got to hold the military accountable. What have you done with the money we've given you? Where is the forensics on it? Where is the accountability of the dollars that have come out of the people's treasury? But for the sake of the military, it's like, oh, well, you know, somehow we just accept it and we just shrug and just say, well, it's just too big. It's too massive. We can't account for it. Are you kidding me? Millions and millions of dollars unaccounted for, and you might even get into billions here. I mean, it's pretty scary when you think about all the money that goes, and then, you know, you ask a question, and all of a sudden you get that, you know, that deer in the headlights look like, oh, God, why did you ask me? And, but, you know, but meanwhile, it's like, okay, that too will pass, it passes, and, you know, we're like, you know, we get the squirrel effect here in this country. Oh, squirrel, you know, and then we find something else to go chase after, some other shiny object, instead of really staying the course here to say, look, we have got to downsize government. $23 trillion in debt is unacceptable. And again, I reminded Senator Blackburn that she needs to take the message back to the White House and the president directly to say, the focus, hey, we appreciate the great job you've done on jobs. I mean, no question. We've got plenty of jobs. We got more jobs than people right now. And when the president first came into office, you know, I'm told that was one of the first questions he asked everybody. How are we doing on jobs? How are we doing on jobs? How are we doing on jobs? Well, I believe the first question he should ask after he gets elected is, how are we doing with the deficit? And I believe that if he keeps asking, how are we doing with the deficit? How are we doing with the deficit? People are going to realize that is a target focus. And we start looking at some things and ways in which we can you know, get our arms around this budget. I mean, Tom Cobra, I mean, for years, you know, it's been now, I don't know, at least 3-4 years that Tom pointed out that there was this is Senator Senator Coburn, when he was senator, with his waste book report, pointed out that we had billions of dollars in duplicative waste. I think $450 billion. You've got 17 agencies that aren't talking together. They don't, you know, and they're kind of overlapping, doing it. 17 agencies. And you know, that's unacceptable. That's a waste of the people's money. That's the top of the iceberg. We're not even getting down to where there is so much more incompetency and waste, because it's not their money. It's our money. And I've got another solution too that we can talk about later on, and that is all these all these victories that the Justice Department wins, you know, and that money. You know, I asked, I go, where does that money go? Well, it just kind of just goes back to the Justice Department. Hey, look at, how about all these monies that we get and all these legal awards that we receive? How about if it goes to Social Security, huh? What do you think about that? We'll talk more about that coming up. Stay with us. Ed Conard is next right here.
February is Heart Health Month. Give your heart the attention it deserves with Quantum Nutrition Lab's 3 featured supplements formulated to support healthy blood pressure, healthy blood sugar, and circulation. Each are buy 2, get the 3rd one free. And be sure to get your free copy of the Biofield Diet. Now is the time to commit to making your heart health a priority year-round. Call 888-588-7578. That's 888-588-7578. Or visit us online at qnlabs.com. That's QNLABS.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bob Marshall, PhD, host of Healthline. Tune in to get your questions answered and hear the latest breakthrough information for you and your family. Our product line, Quantum Nutrition Labs, delivers what others only promise, nutrition that really works.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Pete Buttigieg has suspended his campaign for the Democratic presidential nomination just one day after a disappointing finish in the South Carolina primary. Buttigieg saying dropping out now is the best way to unify Americans and get Donald Trump out of the White House in November.
I will no longer seek to be the 2020 Democratic nominee for president, but I will do everything in my power to ensure that we have a new Democratic president come January.
Voters in 14 states will be casting their votes tomorrow, which is Super Tuesday. Health officials in the Seattle, Washington area confirming the nation's second death from coronavirus. They say a man in his 70s who was hospitalized for it has died. A Seattle area man died of the coronavirus on Saturday as well. And this is USA Radio News.
Got an old car? You can donate it, whether it's running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation and save a life. They'll even come and pick it up for free. The United Breast Cancer Foundation has saved hundreds of women's lives through their free or low-cost breast screen exams. But now they need your help. The United Breast Cancer Foundation wants to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And donating your old car, SUV, or truck, whether it's running or not, helps pay for them. Plus, you get a charitable tax deduction. Help the United Breast Cancer Foundation save lives by donating your old car, SUV, or truck. Call now for free pickup. 800-280-2144. 800-280-2144. 800-280-2144. Call right now. That number again is 800-280-2144.
Bill Martinez, we have a country to save.
This is your time, your call. Don't fight, don't fight, your call. You've come so far, keep going.
And independent, just the way you like to hear from us. Good to have you with us. 28 minutes before the top of the hour, the best-selling author of The Upside of Inequality, an AEI, that is American Enterprise Institute visiting scholar and a former managing director at Bain Capital, is with us, Ed Conard. Ed, how you doing?
Good, Bill. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing terrific. Always good to be talking to you. Hey, let's get right into it here. Let's talk Trump's economy versus Obama's economy. Obama's acolytes for a long time have been trying to throw out into the political bloodstream that it's his economy, that we wouldn't be enjoying the economy we have right now if it wasn't for him. And that becomes a head-scratcher for most Americans.
I guess so. I think if you look at the Congressional Budget Office and what they were forecasting when President Obama left office,
and you look at the Trump economy, the economy is growing 40% faster than that forecast, and it's added 4.5 million more jobs than the forecast when President Obama left office. And that understates the outsized performance of the Trump economy, because the rest of the world was growing a lot faster at the time of that forecast than it is today. Mm-hmm. So if they would have looked forward and said, this is how the economy, or the rest of the world, would have been growing in, say, 2019, their forecast would have been substantially lower, and President Trump's economy would have significantly it already outperformed the forecast by 40%. It would have been substantially higher than that.
Well, when President Trump had suggested, well, then candidate Trump suggested that he could ignite the economy and get it back on track, Obama's response was, what, does he have a magic wand?
Yeah.
Remember?
He did. It turns out that he did have a magic wand. You know, one of the measures, I think one of the best measures for how well people are doing and what's happening is to look at GDP per person. So the more people you employ, the richer the country will be. Mm. And, you know, they always want to go back to the depth of the recession to make comparisons to President Obama, rather than saying, let's go back to 2007 and see how well he, in 8 years, was able to return the economy back to normal. Mm-hmm. Over his presidency, he increased GDP per person by about 0.5% a year. President Trump has increased GDP per person about 2% a year. Mm-hmm. So it's almost 3 to 4 times greater under President Trump. If you look at the best way to make comparisons between the two administrations, so I don't see how an administration who was unable to generate very much growth over its 8 years can look at the dramatic shift that occurred when President Trump took office. Man, if you look at the stock market, the stock market is up. Well, before coronavirus, it was up 60% since President Trump was elected. After coronavirus, it's still up 40%. And that's 8 years into the recovery. That is an unprecedented increase in the stock market. So you can imagine that people clearly were shocked by the performance of the Trump economy, because it wasn't embedded in the future-looking stock market, which reacted strongly the day after he was elected and continues to go up ever since.
You know, Ed, I'm glad you brought that discussion or that point up about the GDP per person, because I think you and I talked about that the last time. And it was risky, because when I had thought about it, I thought, gosh, it almost sounds like, you know, we're heading into some sort of utopian here by putting some sort of potential on the collective here. But I think that's the way to look at it, is that you have to say, look at, in terms of what is the human potential that is here. I mean, if we get our GDP per person up to 3-4%, if you put it out there and, you put it out to the labor force and say, hey, this is what we think your potential is, I mean, it becomes a bit of a benchmark and a challenge. And then that becomes, the way to win the game, doesn't it?
Well, sure. You want to get a lot of people employed. You want the workforce participation up. You want your productivity growing. By the way, President Trump's productivity growth has been 60% faster than the Congressional Budget Office forecast at the time that he took office. You want more investment. You know, what we've seen is great productivity growth in this administration relative to the last one. And I'd say a couple other things people overlook as well. You hear a lot about the trillion-dollar deficits and a lot of complaining about the trillion-dollar deficits. Mm. What you don't hear is that the economy has grown so fast that debt relative to GDP has barely changed since before President Trump took office. Mm. So it was forecasted to be at about 78%. Now it's at about 79%, because the growth has been so strong. I'll tell you another amazing statistic which will shock you. You know, you hear about all the Paris Accord and CO2 emissions. The U.S. has reduced carbon emissions 5% in 2019, 5% per dollar GDP. You hear how great the German economy is, which also reduced its CO2 emissions 5%. That's because its economy didn't grow. Mm. If you actually look at growth per dollar of GDP, the U.S. is one of the fastest countries in reducing its CO2 emissions because we're converting to natural gas. So on almost any measure that you measure, productivity, investment, CO2 emissions, debt as a percent of GDP, GDP per capita, these are all major, the stock market, the rest of the world's stock market has barely increased.
President Trump took office.
I think it's quite comical, Ed, only that what happens is that, you know, the rest of the world is looking at the United States saying, you want to get rid of this guy? We'll hire him.
I think the only thing, and I hear this all the time, that people say is they want to take the Obama administration and compare it to the depth. You know, they look at the ending point compared to the depth of the recession, as opposed to saying, hey, America was in pretty good shape in 2007. Mm-hmm. How'd you do relative to 2007?
Exactly.
And those comparisons, it looks horrible. Those 8 years were some of the slowest, was the slowest recovery since the Great Depression.
Yeah, and the Democratic policies were, hey, let's just go to regulation nation. Let's frustrate the holy what have you out of the labor force. The grief to happiness ratio of the labor force during the 8 years, the misery index was off the charts, Ed, to your point. You want to make people happy if you can, or at least contribute to their happiness, make sure they have a job. And this is what President Trump did. I mean, you know, we were just talking about it here a moment ago, and I had a conversation again with Senator Blackburn over the at NRB last week. Marsha Blackburn stopped by the booth, and we had a good visit with her. I said, look at the president constantly was asking initially when he first went into the Oval Office, how are we doing on jobs? How are we doing on jobs? How are we doing on jobs? That was the focus. And look what we did. Jobs exploded. Regulations were eliminated, you know, something like 22 to 1 for every new. It started out, hey, 1 for 1 we were going to go, remember? And then now it's like some 22 to 1 regulations are eliminated for every new regulation now.
Yeah, we're still producing. You know, this is 10 years into the recovery, and we're still producing 225,000 jobs last month. I mean, that is an extraordinary high level for where we are in the economy. We're at 3.6% unemployment. There's nobody left to hire, and we're still finding people to come out of the woodworks and join the workforce and get to work. And what amazes me is, the Obama administration engineered the slowest recovery since the Great Recession, and that
exactly.
administration was a lot more conservative than what the Democrats are putting forward this time around.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Biden is to the left of where President Obama was. You know, he is denying that he is a moderate. He's saying, no, I'm a lot more liberal than that, and it looks like Bernie Sanders.
Yes.
It could very well be the nominee who would destroy this economy.
Well, I think would destroy the economy and could very likely do a lot of damage to the Democratic Party. And, well, I'll tell you, that's a whole other discussion. And I may share with you, if we have some time, Ed, my theories on that, because I believe with the downfall of the Democratic Party potentially in this cycle, it will be a grand opportunity for conservatives and for this president to do something about the budget and get us out of this quid pro quo relationship that we have with the budget. That though you say it's manageable, $23 trillion, I'd like to see it going down to 22, 21, 20. Let's move it in the other direction.
Well, yeah, we definitely have had a rise in government spending that you go back to 2007 and we were at 18.8, 19% of GDP. We're significantly above that.
Exactly.
Today, closer to 21%. So there's plenty of room to make some improvements in that dimension.
Well, without a doubt, Ed Conard is with us, and our conversation will continue with the best-selling author on the other side of the break. Stay with us.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or if you signed up for a plan you're not happy with, you still have a choice. MediShare is a healthcare sharing program. Hundreds of thousands of Christians are part of this. It can save you a lot. Typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. You can join MediShare anytime. It's easy to call and look into it. There's no pressure at all. And man, what a difference it can make. 855-SHARE-40. That's 855-SHARE-40.
From CBN Films comes I Am Patrick, the patron saint of Ireland, taken from his home into slavery, then a miraculous escape, only to be called back.
It was not my grace, but God, that I might come to the Irish nations to preach the gospel.
Witness the journey from man to saint. I Am Patrick. In select theaters for 2 days only, March 17th and 18th. For theaters and tickets, go to IamPatrick.com.
This is sponsored by SAP Concur. According to new research from SAP Concur, nearly 60% of business travelers have changed their travel plans because they didn't feel safe. More than 77% of female travelers say they have experienced harassment or mistreatment while traveling.
Nearly 40% have been ignored by service workers, and nearly a third have been catcalled during a business trip. Kim Albright, CMO for SAP Concur.
An equal world is an enabled world, and that's the theme of this year's International Women's Day. At SAP Concur, we believe employers need to work harder to better enable women and other business travelers to stay safe. Employers can do this through better training, technology, and other resources. For example, there are apps that can help travelers understand the safety levels of hotel locations, and other resources to identify developing dangers.
Executives, corporate travel managers, and employees can learn more at concur.com/travel tips.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Someone once said, live free or die, right? Bill Martinez, live.
You know, it's a binary choice, ladies and gentlemen. I believe that's what we're faced in this upcoming 2020 election. It is clear. Socialism or freedom? What and who do you want to serve? The best-selling author of The Upside of Inequality, an AEI visiting scholar, former managing director at Bain Capital, Ed Connor, continues with us. Ed, I appreciate you allowing me to ask you the question about Mitt Romney. You were close. You worked together. You know him really well. And America is a bit confused by, you know, the recent impeachment vote of Mitt Romney, and you know, give us your perspective on that.
So I worked with Mitt for 25 years, and I out of respect for Mitt, I would say this: for the 25 years that I knew him, he always did what he thought was the right thing. He never did what would make him the most money, what was in his best interest. So I look at the decision he made here, and I think he clearly made it based on what he thought was the right answer. I didn't talk to him directly before, but I talked to some other people who were very close to him who said that he deliberated over this for a long, long time, that he recognized that he was going to be unpopular for doing it. And I think he really struggled with it. But I would say he's a guy who does what he thinks is the right thing to do. Now, having said that, I'll tell you that I disagree with what he did, because I think the Constitution is quite clear. High crimes and misdemeanors is a very ambiguous term. You know, an impeachable offense is what 67% of the Senate says it is. Mm-hmm. We were nowhere close to 67%. Why is that? Because the Constitution protects us from removing a president from office where a near majority of voters still want him to be president. So it's not just about the phone call. It's about what the voters want. And the voters it's saying if a third of the voters still want him to be president, then you shouldn't vote to have him removed. And the Constitution protects us from guys like Mitt who would remove him anyway.
Exactly.
What matters is what the voters want, not what Mitt wants, not what I want, not what you want, but what the voters want. They're the only people we can trust. Mm-hmm. Can't trust anybody else because everybody else can go off the rails, make very unusual decisions. But you got a majority of voters who still want the president to be president. There's no way you can take him out of office. I think the Constitution protects us from somebody inflicting that kind of damage on our country. It would have ripped our country apart. So I would have said, no way could you vote for that. But having said that, the guy always did what he thought was right.
Mm-hmm. And I think it would have been acceptable for him to say, look, I've got issues here, however. And the however didn't come. And like anybody. But the other thing is as you pointed out, Ed, that really got these politicians, particularly on the Democratic side, got so carried away with the House managers and Adam Schiff and Jerry Nadler and Nancy Pelosi. I mean, what they spewed in, the kind of poison they spewed into the bloodstream of the body politic, I believe is extremely dangerous.
Oh, I agree 100%. You know, and I think what you don't want is you don't want to have a vote where you lose the vote, because what ends up happening is you say, well, making this sort of phone call and that sort of quid pro quo, that's not an impeachable offense. What President Clinton did, well, that's not an impeachable offense. So what you don't want to do is bring forward these charges and then fall far short of the two-thirds majority that is needed. And so far better to not adjudicate these issues rather than have them adjudicated and say, nope, that's not an impeachable offense and that's not impeachable. You want those things to be ambiguous so that people don't go anywhere near the line. You don't want the line. You don't want the line defined. So I think they did a horrible disservice to the United States, to democracy, by bringing this thing forward and losing it by a vote of 48-52. I mean, that's no way should have been brought.
Yeah,
forward.
It's not even close. And the thing is that you think we would have learned, to your point, Ed, that we would have learned after the Clinton impeachment, because it was quite telling. I mean, we're impeaching the president over a blue dress. I mean, you know, yes, he lied, but you know, there were, you know, and it was all, again, this is the danger of special prosecutors, and the whole process is you start going, it puts you on a fishing expedition, because you know, you ask the people, you go, okay, what triggered the impeachment process to begin with, and people think it was Monica Lewinsky. It wasn't. That was something that came down the road that was part and parcel, you could say, of a fishing expedition.
Yeah, I think part of what happened with President Clinton was, you know, he lied under oath to a grand jury and was caught red-handed doing it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, is a censorship, you know, censoring him in order? You have to do something to say to people, hey, you know, you go in front of a grand jury and you just lie. Mm-hmm. There should be tough consequences for that. So in that case, I thought perhaps he should be impeached, but no way should he be found guilty. No way should he be removed from office, because 50% of the voters still want him to be the president, you know, and the standard is one-third.
Yes.
So, you know, would a censorship have been more appropriate? You know, maybe a censorship here as well. But in both cases, there's just no way you could vote to remove the person from office when a near majority of the country still wants the person to be president. This is a bad for our democracy, and particularly bad in this case where, you know, we had the Russian hoax inflicted on us for 3 years.
Exactly.
In this case, you know, with this phone call, there was no hearsay evidence. It was not even someone said, I heard my boss say that he said that there was a quid pro quo. It was nothing but people's theories that there was a quid pro quo. You know, maybe there, and one could argue, even if there was a quid pro quo, I would still say it's not an impeachable offense because 50% of the country doesn't want him removed. You know, you have to get to some point where you're at like 67% of the country wants him removed. We were nowhere close to that.
Well, I think the people saw, Ed, that this was a human resource issue. I mean, you've got disgruntled employees. I mean, in any kind of business, you're going to have people say, well, I disagree with the president. But, I mean, you would hope that leadership is strong enough to be able to, you know, get them readjusted and understand, okay, this is the position and that's the party, you know, that's the party line you have have to hold to. You know, Vindemans and the rest of them on down the road, Yovanovitch, it was clear they were antithetical to the president. They didn't believe somehow, and somehow they thought it was their right to spout their opinion about how things should be handled in the Ukraine. And, you know, and what came out to me is that you got disgruntled employees here that were running amok. And here it is, for the sake of politics, the Democrats gave them a platform. And boy, I'll tell you, they did a lot of damage. I think consequential damage, not only to the government, but I believe to the marketplace at large. Because, you know, in running any kind of organization and being a manager or an owner of a company and stuff, you need unity. You need cooperation. And I hope that businesses can see what happened and use this as a teaching instrument to say, this is what happens when people can't get along and we have, we have secret agendas. If we're not all moving together, then you have the U.S. government and you have what happened in the Ukraine that leads to, people losing their mind and executing an impeachment trial.
I agree with that. I think there's always going to be some disgruntled employees. There's always going to be some disagreement. Mm-hmm. For me, the bigger crime was committed by Nancy Pelosi and the Congress, who brought this forward and pursued it at a time when 50% of the population, of the voters, still wanted the president to be president. They had no shot of getting to the 67%. They had no business pressing.
And she knew that going in, Ed.
Of course she did, yes.
Yeah.
She said it many times. She knew it.
Yeah.
And the only reason why she went forward is because she wouldn't be the speaker had President Trump been reelected and she had not pursued it. She would no longer be the speaker. She had no shot at being the speaker. So she simply did it for her own self-interest because she knew full well that it wasn't going to get to 67%, and that if it didn't get anywhere close to it, it was going to be bad for the United States.
Well, this lack of bipartisanship and political vitriol that's going on, this is making even our strategy and attack on the coronavirus, it's leaving us vulnerable, isn't it, Ed?
It seems to. I mean, you get 30 million flu cases a year, and half the people don't even get vaccines. So how worried are they going to be? How worried ought they be over what's a pretty mild cold that can affect, it's pretty small percent. They're talking about like a 0.5% of the people might die from it, but the cases are probably going to be, fairly small relative to the 30 million people who get the flu. So I guess the news always, they want to say the sky is falling.
Right.
Me, I've got something important to say. But they certainly aren't helping us here in keeping our economy afloat, keeping people employed, making sure that we're not overreacting, knowing full well that markets tend to overreact, especially financial markets. And once the financial markets overreact and people don't feel as wealthy as they were a couple weeks ago, we've lost $4 trillion of value here. That's going to affect, the way people spend their money, the way people are willing to invest their money and such. And that will really have real effects on people's employment. And we ought to be very, very careful about that. But I think when you listen to the Democratic debates, they don't seem to have any concern at all.
Oh, no.
About keeping
let's just blow it all up. Let's just blow it all up with all the rhetoric and everything and the lack of evidence and the, as you say, the opinionating that's going on at the people's expense.
I mean, what Bernie Sanders is proposing is incredibly risky. Everywhere it's been tried, it's been a huge failure. He's talking about a massive shift of power to the government, a massive increase in spending, and he is acting like, there's no reason to be alarmed. It's certain that this could work, as opposed to it's highly, highly unlikely to work. Certainly highly, highly uncertain to work. And everywhere it's been tried, it's been an unmitigated disaster.
Exactly.
And, nevertheless, here we are with one half of our electorate saying, I have no problem supporting Bernie Sanders. Hey, don't worry, he can't really get any of that stuff done anyway. Thank God. Mm. But,
an unmitigated disaster that has also resulted in the deaths of millions of people. That's what you want to see happening here in the United States of America? I don't think so. Ed Conard's been our guest. Ed, thank you as always. Appreciate the time.
Sure, Bill. Thank you.
You take care.
I'm here with Scott Yuseum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
With more people listening to